This is call number 00060785. State of Texas versus Richard Scott. My name is James F. Lawson, Jr., and I'm assigned here by Judge Schroff to hear a motion to recuse Judge Morgan. This motion has been filed by the defendant in the case. And I'll ask you, Mr. Scott, you are Mr. Scott?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to proceed on your motion?
Yes, I am, sir. And in addition to the matter that was filed this morning in this.
Could you speak up?
Yes, sir. That's an additional motion that was filed this morning.
It's filed. It's in the file. I don't need additional information.
Yeah.
That's in the file. And you are ready to proceed on your motion?
Yes, I am.
And you are representing yourself in this motion?
No, sir. I don't believe that I can represent myself, as I cannot stand in my own place.
Who is representing you then?
Nobody is representing me, sir. I'm here in propria persona.
Let the record reflect that the defendant is sitting at council table and we have this announcement. And for the purpose of this proceeding, I will take it that you are representing yourself and that you're not represented by an attorney.
Objection, Your Honor.
That's all right. And is the state ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Well, in this motion to recuse, I have set forth 10 basic things that...
I've read your motion and I've read your additional information.
Yes, sir. Those things in brief are that there has been no proper notice of the motion to amend at the hearing of August 22nd, that the judge is not reading the motions. That's paragraphs 3, 9, and 10 of the motion to recuse. That there has been no proper discovery. Discovery has been denied. That is necessary for the prosecution of my defense. That's in paragraph 7 of the motion to recuse. That there has been improper court procedure in paragraph 8 of that motion. Refusal to rule on various motions before this court, the demand for findings of fact and conclusions of law, particularly in regard to the motion wherein I've asked the court respond to all of my demands, motions, and filings, and by failing or refusing to read my timely filed motions before this court, this is a violation of my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, and my right to due course of law under Article 1, Section 19 of the Constitution for the State of Texas. In addition, the court has ruled against the rules of court as set forth in paragraph 10 on page 4 of the motion to recuse, and that Judge Morgan said that there was no legal authority to take depositions in a criminal case. And in the motion before him that day, I set forth the Code of Criminal Procedure, Article 39.06, and the Texas Code of Civil Procedure, Rule 197.1, which give the authority to take interrogatories, that is, in a criminal case. And the hearing that day was ended before I could complete my objection and notice the judge of the fact that those things were in the ruling that's or in the motion before him. And he stated that day that if you'll submit me some authority, I'll look at it, some legal authority that is recognizable in law in this court, which he had before him in that motion. Violation of my rights are outlined in paragraphs 4, 8, and 12 of that motion, which are serious depredations of my protected rights under the United States Constitution and under the Constitution of this state. The refusal to rule on motions is set forth in paragraph 8 again. Evidence of the bias and prejudice of Judge Morgan against myself is set forth in paragraphs 14 and 15 from the hearing of August 22nd, in which it was very apparent that Judge Morgan has a personal stake in the matter before this court, having to do with his relationship with the people that are bringing this accusation, and his bias against myself in terms of my attempted prosecution of a defense. And that is set forth in a transcript of those proceedings that's on pages 5, the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6 on that motion. Also, violation of principles of law, for example, no injured party. He's trying to present the county court clerk as an injured party in this case, and it's clearly evident according to the law and the analysis of the Sixth Amendment that a officer of this court cannot be an injured party, or a third party cannot be an injured party, that it has to be a person who's actually been injured and suffered damage. There has been no such injured party brought forward or to make a complaint before this court. And that's in paragraph 17 of page 6 of the motion to recuse. And the oath of the judge's office is also in question. I've made many attempts to try and obtain a copy of that oath that should be on file either in this county or in Comanche County. And in no case in any court have I been able to obtain a copy, a certified copy of the judge's oath of office. And that's a serious question because there are bailiffs in this court on regular court days that do not have current oaths of office to be public servants under the laws of this state, particularly Article 16, Section 1 of the Constitution for the State of Texas. And they're required to have oaths of office, and yet they're carrying guns and wearing badges and exerting authority as though they are officers of this state, and presenting themselves as though they are, and in so doing are violating my rights under the constitutions of this state and of the United States. And the supplemental pleading, the motions that were not ruled on are set forth. The continuance, the motion for a continuance, because the hearing set for October 6th happens to be on a day that is a sacred Sabbath and a most sacred feast occasion during the year in our sacred calendar, according to our faith and belief. And I've had before this court a motion including a copy of our calendar showing this long standing of these beliefs I've practiced and believed since 1979. And we cannot participate in any secular hearing on such dates. And so I've requested a motion for continuance on that basis. That motion was not heard by this court, because Judge Morgan decided to go back into other issues that had already been hashed over and over again at prior hearings that had already, to my mind, had already been decided, particularly whether or not counsel was going to be appointed, whether or not I was going to be able to proceed impecuniously. The judge had said at a prior hearing that he was allowing me to proceed impecuniously, and then he denied my motion for a court record to be made of these pretrial hearings for the purpose of possible appeal, and thereby denied my right to due process and to be able to appeal this matter. And I am indigent or impecunious and do not have funds, do not have a personal income, and have not had for 20 years. I live off of donations and offerings that barely meet the needs of our family, and it has taken away from those needs in order to try to prosecute a defense as best I could under these circumstances. And the third point in the supplemental pleading is the indictment is and was clearly deficient and defective in the fact that there is no injured party of the abuses against my rights that are outlined in paragraph 2 on page 4 of that motion. And I've also asked in that motion that all the motions that I put before this court be reheard so that they can be decided by a proper, unbiased and impartial decider, so decision maker, so that my rights will be preserved. Finally, in the additional information regarding the recusal and a motion to suppress evidence, I set forth the fact that the bailiffs are not under oath, they are not public servants under the laws of this state, as the prosecutor admitted at the last hearing, and he nor the judge seem to think that that's a very important issue. And I believe that, you know, that the people that are representative of the law of this state ought to be the primary ones to uphold that law and to observe it. And that they have no right to set in judgment on anyone if they themselves are not meticulously observing the law themselves. And that's also a very serious allegation in the fact that those who have not taken an oath, or those who have taken an oath without taking the, or without giving the necessary or the required statement regarding bribery, that is required to be signed and filed with the Secretary of State before they sign the oath and before they enter upon the duties of their office. And I have not found any sheriff in this county yet who has done that, with the possible exception of Murphy, who may well have done it on the same day, but there's every indication that he signed the oath first and signed the and filed the bribery statement later. The violation of my rights is set forth in paragraph page 2, paragraph 2 of that last motion. Let me get to this here. Which have resulted from all of this, that several arrests by men presenting themselves as officers of this court who have no oath of office. That represents false arrest and false imprisonment. And the means of, under which that was done have included entrapment and cruel and unusual punishment, in that while held in jail, I was denied proper food and water according to my faith and belief, which, without which, I came near to dehydration on two occasions because of this. And we were only able to resolve that issue by finally obtaining bail through an elderly mother-in-law who has harmed her finances in order to put up that money for bail, without which I would probably be dead today. Now, the fact on that on the bail is that I had tried to get a motion before any of the courts in this county on a habeas hearing, and no judge was made available. I was arrested on a Thursday, and this was on a Friday, and there were no judges in any of the courts in this county who would hear a habeas petition. And it wasn't until a motion or a statement that I had signed and notarized 2 months prior to this, anticipating such a thing, that I had sent to people in three other countries outside the United States for safekeeping, was presented before the district court clerk, that finally a magistrate was brought in to effect an arraignment at jail. And none of these arraignments, by the way, have taken place in open court as they are required to be under the laws of this state. And regarding the motion to suppress evidence, it is based on...
I'm here only to hear the motion to recuse the judge. I'm not here to hear any other motion.
Well, I believe that that is at the heart and core of this entire issue, because Judge Morgan has not heard any of these motions regarding the evidence or sufficiency of it either. And, you know, that's why that was presented, so that I can get a hearing before an impartial decision maker and an unbiased decision maker on that issue. Because I have yet to have a fair hearing in that regard, and I put forth in there also a notice to this county and to this state of the causes for the current drought that it is suffering, which is Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 29. And I think the court and the prosecutors need to acquaint themselves with those verses, because it's a very important scripture that deals with this situation that we're looking into here today. Now, in terms of the oath of office, this is my son-in-law, Tom McGuire, and if we could bring him up. He has a letter, a certified letter, that he has sent to Judge Morgan personally regarding obtaining his oath of office that was mailed on September 8th. And we've yet to hear anything back. But, you know, as the, as he put forth in this letter, as the custodian of records for this court, he's required by the laws of this state to have this record on file and to make a copy available to us. And that has not been done. And that's under the rules of judicial administration. And that's set forth in this letter, and we can enter that into evidence if you'd like, and question Tom about the letter. We can call him up.
So is that an offer? Is that, are you offering the letter in evidence?
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, assuming this is going to be marked as, I guess, defendants one or movements one, the state would object. It's not relevant to any issue before the court in this proceeding.
It is relevant as to Judge Morgan's qualification to sit as a judge in this county.
It'll be admitted as Exhibit 1.
As to the proceedings before the court up to now, all of these people have been witnesses to them. As to my impecuniousness, every one of the motions I have filed before this court, because I cannot take a vow an oath or affirmation taking an oath, since that violates my duly held religious beliefs and practice and training, every one of the motions I've put before this court have been signed by three witnesses, all of whom are present here today and have been present at all of these proceedings. And they can be questioned as to the...
Your Honor, it seems to me Mr. Scott is now trying to make factual statements. I guess up to now he's been arguing some legal issue, but he's going to try to testify as to facts. We'd like him to be sworn in as a witness so that we can, in fact, examine concerning his testimony.
I believe he's indicated he will not be sworn or will not affirm to any.
That's correct, Your Honor. And neither can these people, but they will make statements under penalty of perjury if this court is willing to hear it.
Well, I'm not here to be of counsel to you. I'm here to hear your motion.
I understand.
And whatever it is that you want to present in support of that motion, and to either grant or deny the motion. So, as far as my wanting to hear anything, I don't have any reason to call witnesses or to become a counsel to you in any respect, or
sir,
to the state either. I'm here as a neutral.
Sir.
So when you have presented what you have to present, then we'll let the state present anything they want to present, then I'll dispose of the motion. Granting or denying. That's the way we proceed.
Well, I would like to call Thomas McGuire, who's been present at all the prior proceedings.
All right. You may come forward, Mr. McGuire.
Would you be sworn? Along with my friend, I cannot take an oath.
Speak up for the record.
He said I cannot take an oath or an affirmation. That's like he cannot.
You may not testify. You may not testify in this court. You will not be sworn or affirmed.
Sir, I believe that the law does state that it is acceptable to received the statement under penalty of perjury.
Show me the lawyer lounge, sir.
Well, I don't have it handy with me, but I have done study in this matter.
I'm perfectly willing to look at any law you want to present. But at the moment, I know of no law that allows a person to testify in court unless he's been sworn or affirmed that his testimony is true.
Well, that's a violation of religious liberty, Your Honor, and the law is in the United States Constitution.
No, Your Honor, I think that's the reason the law has the word affirm involved for those persons who feel that they cannot take a sworn oath.
The problem has been that the courts have held that an affirmation is equivalent to an oath. And since taking an oath...
He will not affirm. He said he...
That's what I said, because the affirmation has been taken by the courts to be equivalent to taking an oath. And we cannot, due to our religious convictions, take an oath and are not required to do so.
My understanding of a witness's testimony, it must be of such gravity as will support an indictment for perjury if he lies on the witness stand.
That's why he would make the statement.
I prefer a witness to come here and take that witness chair without taking some kind of oath or affirmation to tell the truth. Then he can say anything he wants to.
No, sir, Your Honor.
Perfectly immune from any charge of murder.
No, sir, I don't believe that, and neither does he.
I'm not worried about what you believe. Now, I've asked you to present me with any law that you...
Well, the law of our Savior says that you shall let your yes be yes and your no be no, and that is the law upon which the laws of this country are based and of this state.
We are talking about the laws of this state.
That's right. Under the Constitution.
The statutes, mm-hmm. and the case law of this state.
Well, the Constitution is based upon the common law, Your Honor, and the common law is based upon Scripture. And Scripture tells us to not swear at all, but to let your yes be yes and your no be no, and we have to live by that.
Do you have anything further?
No. Unless we can have some kind of witness give a statement before this court, which they're willing to do under the penalty of perjury.
You may call any witness that you care to, so long as that witness will become a witness by either swearing to tell the truth or affirming the truth.